Good morning, everyone. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we acknowledge that you are holy and that we have no approach to you and no fellowship with you apart from the atoning work of your Son, Jesus Christ, his precious blood shed for us. For if we stand in our own virtue and in our own merit, Lord God, all of our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, corrupted by sin. And we cannot possibly hope to stand before you, Lord, on the basis of who we are in and of ourselves, nor put our confidence in anything that we have done. But our full confidence is in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave his life for us, whose righteousness has been imputed to us. And it is clothed in his righteousness that we have confidence to approach you, not only as your servants, but as children of God. And so, Holy Father, as we now put all of our trust and confidence in Christ, your Son, we pray on account of him that you would have fellowship with us by your Spirit. Anoint us by your Spirit, illuminate our minds and hearts, that we, Lord, who are so prone to misunderstand and going astray, may receive understanding to accept and acknowledge and to understand the things of the Spirit of God, which is your holy word. And so, Lord, as we pray for this grace, we ask, Lord God, for all within whom your Spirit dwells, the ability and capacity and willingness and gladness to receive your word, to accept it for what it is, and to be transformed by its truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As today is Father's Day, we'll be taking a break from our series in the Epistle of James, in order to consider a text concerning the fatherhood of God and his treatment of us as his children. The subject of today's text is the subject of discipline. As a father to a four-year-old child who is a couple months shy of five, I personally have been learning how important it is to exercise discipline in my own household. Personally, I prefer to reason with my child when her behavior goes wrong. As my wife could attest, I prefer to coax my child into correcting her own behavior. But, as we may know so well, young children sometimes lack the maturity to appreciate parental persuasion, and so require something a little more clear and forceful for their correction. And what is that? That is discipline. For me, learning effective discipline has been one of the more challenging aspects of fatherhood. But despite my struggles with it, there is no doubt that discipline is a major aspect of demonstrating love towards one's child. If we truly love our children, we will be careful to discipline them. If we love our children, we will do what it takes to keep them from running roughshod over others. Love for our child involves training them to become considerate, respectful, and self-controlled individuals, qualities which we know pays dividends for them in the future as adults. As we read in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And as we may know, fathers are charged in Scripture to nurture their children in the discipline of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If discipline is an integral part of a father's love towards his children, how much more is discipline an integral aspect of our heavenly Father's love towards us as his children? Maybe some of us had fathers who disciplined us harshly. They disciplined us out of a domineering spirit rather than out of love. Maybe some of us had a father who was arbitrary and inconsistent with his discipline, punishing minor infractions severely one day while letting serious faults slide on other days, all depending on his mood. But as our Holy Father, his discipline of us is always a perfect expression of his fatherly love, as we read in verse 6 of our text. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So as adopted children of God through Christ our Lord, we ought always to receive his discipline as nothing less than his act of love towards us as our perfect Heavenly Father. Given this fact, we should never regard the Lord's discipline lightly or be wearied by his reproof. As we read in verse 5 of our text, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. What is meant by regarding the discipline of the Lord lightly? Well, I think it means to be dismissive of his discipline. You know, we've been obstinate regarding some sin in our life, despite the confrontation of the Lord's word. We've put off repenting. We've been intent on going our own way, refusing the Lord's correction. In response, our Heavenly Father does to us what a good father should do, and he gives us a spanking, to put it bluntly. He sends some painful trial into our life meant to chastise us and dissuade us from pursuing our evil course. But instead of seeing God's hand behind the trial, we just explain it away as happenstance. We dismiss it as just some unfortunate turn of events, that's all. And so we refuse to learn from the God-sent trial and brush off the possibility that he intended it for our correction. That, I think, is regarding the Lord's discipline lightly. Is all suffering sent into the believer's life God's discipline for sin? And the answer is no. As we were reminded in our series in James, which we began a few weeks ago, trials are sent into the lives of believers to test their faith. As we learned in 1 Peter 1 a couple weeks ago, like fire which tests the genuineness of gold, trials test the genuineness of our faith. And when our faith in Christ withstands the fires of various trials, what happens? We gain confidence that our faith is bona fide. It's the real thing, genuine, true, the product of God's saving grace, and not just a temporary phase. And what happens then? Our assurance of salvation is bolstered and strengthened, and we're filled with hope, not just shaky on the hope of the gospel. We're filled with hope. So sometimes God sends suffering into the life of a believer to test his or her faith for the sake of assurance. Furthermore, believers suffer because we live in a world that is under God's curse for sin. Decay and death is the inevitable law of nature. Our bodies deteriorate. We are slowly but surely dying. Weakness, illness, dying, and death are realities all believers must endure as they live out their short lives here on this earth. We all groan in this earthly tent of our sojourning, longing for the immortal glory promised to us in Christ. And so suffering is also an inevitable part of our lives, as it is for everyone who lives, because everyone is in the process of dying, and everyone will surely die. But sometimes suffering and hardship is sent into the believer's life as discipline from God. The unbelieving face the judgment of eternal condemnation in the life to come, and thanks be to Christ that we who trust in Him have been saved from that. We'll never face eternal condemnation. If we have appropriated the saving work of Christ through faith in Him, we will never face the eternal judgment of God's condemnation. But unlike the unbelieving world, we do endure the temporal judgment of God's discipline. And that's what our text for today is speaking about. As we read in 1 Corinthians 11, 31-32, "But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." When believers fail to judge themselves, when believers fail to correct their own evil ways, the Lord intervenes and disciplines them. "But if we judge ourselves truly, we will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined." Not all suffering is discipline from God, but some Christians may mistakenly think that suffering is never discipline from God. And clearly, according to Scripture, sometimes it is. Not always, but sometimes. And we ought to always prayerfully consider if whatever trial we are going through may, in fact, be God's disciplinary hand upon our lives. Don't take His discipline lightly. Don't brush it off as some inevitable hardship. See, what happens is suffering takes us out of our routine. It interrupts the ordinary flow of life. When things are normal, we are so occupied and busy that we easily fail to take the time to think and evaluate the course of our lives. Suffering is a timeout that gives us the opportunity to think, evaluate, to meditate on God's word and pray for wisdom. And when we ask in faith, God helps us to recognize the purpose behind the suffering He has sent into our lives. And sometimes, as we've made clear, His purpose for the painful trial we are facing is His discipline, meant for our correction. Some believers take His discipline lightly. They dismiss it. So what happens? Our Heavenly Father must discipline them again, more forcefully, until they humble themselves and acknowledge His chastisement and repent of their waywardness. Regarding the Lord's discipline, A.W. Pink writes, "Many a child would be spared the rod if he heeded the parent's frown. So it is spiritually. Instead of hardening ourselves to endure stoically, there should be a melting of heart. Form the habit of heeding his taps, and you will be less likely to receive his raps." sometimes, if not often, our trials are taps from the Lord. And we should heed them. Despise them not, so that we may not receive his wraps. We would be spared our Father's rod if we heeded his frowns. Growing up as children, a frown from my dad was often enough to get my sister back in line, so she rarely got spanked. Not so for obstinate little Richard. I heeded not the frown of my earthly father, so I got the rod instead, many, many a times, most out of all my siblings. Let's not do that in relation to our heavenly Father. How we could have been spared the rod on so many occasions in our lives if we were in the habit of heeding our Father's frown when we have gone astray in life. On one hand, we're liable to take the Lord's discipline lightly. On the other hand, as we see in our text, we may be wearied by the Lord's discipline. We read in verse 5, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him." So we can take the Lord's discipline lightly on one extreme, and we can be wearied by his discipline on the other extreme. To be wearied is to grow faint. To be weary is to be sapped of strength. Some Christians are disciplined by the Lord, and as they endure the difficulties he has sent into their lives, what happens? They become wearied. They become faint. They fall into depression. They begin to doubt they are children of God because of their suffering. Feeling overwhelmed by their troubles, they become bitter and despondent and lose much of their motivation to serve the Lord. They are wearied by the Lord's reproof. And the reason they are wearied is because they have forgotten the fact that the Lord's discipline is not a sign of his rejection, but rather proof of his love. "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." As we can see there, discipline and chastisement are an expression of God's love for us as his own children. It is proof that we are now truly adopted children of God. Now, some people claim that once you believe the gospel and are saved, your life will become a walk in the park, a bed of roses. All your problems will be fixed and you'll live happily ever after. That's not true. That's a myth. Once you become a Christian, once you become a child of God, the Lord will begin to treat you as a son. And that means what? He will begin to discipline you. In certain respects, your life will become more difficult. Because now, unlike before, you are recipients of the disciplinary love of the Heavenly Father. And so we read in Hebrews 12, 7, our passage for today. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." When God leaves the unbelieving alone to sin however they like, that's not a sign of his love. That's an expression of his wrath. When churchgoers lead lives of flagrant, defiant sinning without repercussions, that is a sign they are illegitimate children. When churchgoers lead impenitent, ungodly lives and yet prosper as much as ever, that is a sign they are illegitimate children. That is a sign they are pretenders, because God does not permit his true children to live like that. God disciplines his own children. Illegitimate children are left without discipline in this life. But as the gospel warns us, the wrath of God is coming. Lest they repent and turn to Christ in faith, the day is coming when God's holy wrath will be poured out upon them in full strength, and they will not escape. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children, not sons. So, brethren, when we suffer the Lord's discipline, do not faint. Do not grow despondent and cast doubt on our sonship simply because we are afflicted. The Lord is treating us as sons. See his love towards us, that he treats us differently than everyone else in the world. So be zealous in light of his discipline and repent. Then wipe away the tears, shake off the gloom and self-pity, receive his discipline with gratitude, and get back to work. Get back to serving the Lord's household. There is so much that needs to be done for the sake of his glorious name. If we've grown faint on account of the Lord's reproof and discipline, consider the words of Asaph in Psalm 73. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5 and other segments of that chapter. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Verse 16 to 19. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Verse 21 to 26. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, brethren in Christ, the Lord treats us differently than he treats the unbelieving. Let us not envy the fact that the unbelieving sin with impunity and yet prosper. As our Lord Jesus Christ himself has said in Matthew 7:13, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. That's not our way. The way that leads to life is the path of sonship, adoption, childhood. The Lord will treat us as his own children, which always includes his discipline. His discipline, among many things that makes the Christian life difficult. It's not the wide and easy path. It's the narrow and hard path. So don't be discouraged by the Lord's chastisements. He disciplines us because He loves us like He loves no other. He loves us as our Father through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 9 to 10 of our text. Beside this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good that we may share His holiness. There have been times that I've reminisced with friends about the ways our fathers disciplined us. We like to compare whose dad disciplined us harder. But despite their flawed and sometimes over-the-top methods of discipline, generally, in my experience, when I had discussions like these with others, we had respect for our fathers for disciplining us. As begrudgingly as we might admit it, we know we would have turned out far worse if not for our father's discipline. As we read in our text, our fathers disciplined us according to what seemed best to them. But what seemed best to them is flawed. Their judgment is imperfect. Sometimes egregiously so. Sometimes we're disciplined too severely, to the point that we were traumatized. Other times, our fathers failed to discipline us when we really needed it and allowed us to develop terrible, debilitating habits. Sometimes, our fathers disciplined us more out of spite and resentment rather than for our own good. But be assured, our Lord always disciplines His children for their good. His discipline is never too severe or too lax. He never disciplines us to give vent to frustration or resentment. He always disciplines us for our good. And our good is what? Verse 10. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. That is the goal of His discipline of us in Christ, that we may share His holiness as we live out our lives in the present time. Verse 11, for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I can look back and see some very painful ways I was disciplined over the years. I'm convinced that much of the various forms of hardships, humiliations, disappointments, and troubles I've experienced were at least in part the Lord disciplining me. But I am thankful to have endured these things. I know I would be far worse off if I had not gone through them. I have many faults still, but I wince to think of who I would be if the Lord did not discipline me, if the Lord allowed me to freely walk the path of arrogance, selfishness, and sensuality. Thank the Lord for the training of His discipline. The pain has all been worth it. And so if we are children of God, and if at this moment we've been humbled by the Lord's discipline, keep in mind that later down the road, we will see that his chastisement paid off. We will see how the discipline of the Lord has yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness in our own lives. And when we do recognize that, let us remember to thank our Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus that he loves us as his children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love of us in Christ Jesus. For you, through Christ, are our Heavenly Father, and we are your adopted children. And as we have read in your text, in your word, you discipline all of your children. And when you do, it is special because you're treating us with your fatherly love. If we were left without discipline, then we would be illegitimate children. And all around us in this world, we can see people who are left without discipline. For you have left them to their sins, to do as they please, but they will face your judgment in the life to come. But as for us, we who are your children through Christ, we experience your discipline now. We face affliction now. We are often humbled now. But in the life to come, we can look forward to perfection and glory and honor and everlasting life. Because through Christ your Son, we have been adopted as your children forever. And so, Lord, we pray that if there be any of us here today who are discouraged because of your discipline, that we would heed your word, that we will neither regard your discipline lightly nor be weary when we are reproved by you. For as we read in your word, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So we thank you, Lord, that in Christ Jesus you treat us differently than the unbelieving world. And indeed, our lives as Christians, as believers, can in certain respects be considerably harder than the lives of the unbelieving. But that is a good thing, because it is the path of sonship. It is the path of adoption. It is a path of the children of God and the path that we walk because you love us and care for us. So we thank you, Lord, that you are our Heavenly Father and discipline us. Let us receive it with thanksgiving. Let us not be weary. Let us repent and be zealous to continue to serve you and do the works that you have prepared for us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.